Hey everyone, welcome back to the Joyful Dentist podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Natanya Brown, endodontist and life coach. Enough with all the formal stuff. I think you know who I am, and if you don't know who I am, then I trust you can figure it out because you've got yourself here to begin with. Today we're talking about strategic quitting. And I have to be honest, this is a half-baked concept that I've been mulling over for a while now, and I've decided that instead of waiting for it to fully bake, I would just rather do a little parboil situation and hand it off to you so that you can noodle over it. And maybe you can give me your input. Maybe you can reach out to me and let me know your take on things. I always love hearing listener input and any kind of feedback. So, side note, if you haven't known by now, this is not the podcast for you if you're looking to get totally fully baked ideas with specifically fully baked solutions. That's not how I roll. My goal is to really simply present you with ideas, maybe some questions, and hopefully help you to find some answers that I believe you most likely have within you, and maybe you've had within you this entire time. I don't claim to have all the answers. This is the podcast where you come to hopefully think about things differently, maybe find some alternative perspectives that you wouldn't have otherwise considered. And my goal is for you to really uncover some solutions, ideas that you have kind of simmering within you. So let's get to today's topic of strategic quitting. Let me just say, this episode is for everybody. So even if you think that you are the type of person that always follows through with everything, I promise you, you may find something here that is relevant for you. But in general, this podcast is especially for those of you out there that may have a little notion or this little undercurrent in the back of your mind thinking that you never finish any projects and you're not good at following through, okay? To be honest with you, I just need to be really upfront and put my cards on the table. I have had that thought about myself countless times. I can't even tell you. I have all sorts of really big ideas about the things that I want to do. And I'm specifically talking about things that I want to do in my time away from my work, like in my personal time. In my mind, in my ideal scenario, I'm learning a language, maybe German or Italian. I'm learning piano. Maybe I'm doing some gardening. I sometimes have kept old materials, packaging or whatnot that I look at and I'm like, oh, that would really work really well to repurpose into, some crafty idea. Meanwhile, I'm not really that crafty, to be honest. And when the moment comes, I'm usually too tired or really just not loving that idea anymore. Some of you know that I have a dog. I actually haven't talked about her here on the podcast in a while, but I have an Australian Labradoodle named Elsie. She's actually coming up on a year and a half. And, when I got her, I had these grand hopes of doing extensive training with her. I swore up and down that she was going to be like the best trained dog ever. And about a month ago, I actually was Googling dog agility course paraphernalia, which entails like ramps and tubes and jumps and all sorts of stuff, because I didn't realize you could actually do this stuff in your backyard if you wanted to. So I got all excited about that. I mean, I could just list all these different things that I get excited about, maybe different books that I'm like, oh man, I'd love to read that. And I get it. And it's sitting on my nightstand. Maybe I get a quarter of the way through. My poor husband has witnessed tons of projects, things getting purchased and coming into the house and then kind of like sitting on my dresser or on the countertops. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Last summer, my 8-year-old and I had these grand plans of painting his bedroom. And I gave him carte blanche. Like, he could do whatever he wanted in terms of painting the walls in his room. And he decided one room was going to be blue with goldfish. And then another wall was going to have a big star and a big heart painted on it. And then a third wall was going to have a house with a little chimney and clouds and the sun, etc. So we bought all the paint, all the brushes. We bought like these fish sponges that we were going to use to stamp the goldfish on the blue wall. And we got started. We started the project. We actually completed the goldfish wall, believe it or not. So he's got a wall in his room that's blue with these bright orange goldfish. And then, to be honest, I kind of decided I was all set. Like, I was exhausted. Like, we spent 8 hours one day. Like, actually, it was over 2 days now that I think about it, painting this blue wall with the bright orange goldfish. And I decided, you know what? I'm all set. The reality is, sometimes I have an idea, and then when I get started, like, it might be great, but then I'll run out of steam. So I'm not always completing everything. And if I'm really honest, there are a bunch of projects that I have that are in that pending category where I'm not really sure when I'm going to pick them up again, if at all. And, you know, the real question is, what's the problem with this, right? A lot of us have this idea that we need to follow through with projects that we start, and that it's a bad thing if we're not following through, okay? And so I just want to lovingly, you know, if you hold that as a thought, right, that you need to be following through, I just want to lovingly and compassionately challenge that. Is that true? Is follow through actually better than quitting on occasion? Look, in my case, there's definitely evidence to support that I actually can finish projects. It's not like I'm incapable of finishing projects, right? Especially those things that are super important to me, I will follow through with them. A matter of a few years ago, I did come to the realization that, you know, actual paper books are probably not going to get finished by me very quickly at all. And so I switched to audiobooks. And it was important enough to me to actually finish a whole slew of different books that I wanted to read. And so I figured out how to make that happen. So, I mean, I can't even count how many books I actually have gotten through. And it's been audio format instead of paper format, right? So I found something that worked for me. But the other thing, you know, that I really want to emphasize is just that question of what's the problem with not finishing a project that you're not that into. Now, as I ask it, right, and I mean, I can't hear you, this is a monologue, so I'm just speaking to myself here. But as I say that, you know, probably nobody's like, oh, well, that's highly problematic, right? I mean, it sounds so obvious and it sounds so basic. Well, if you're not that into it, who really cares, right? But most of us, right, whether we like it or not, most of us really do have that idea or notion that, like, no, it's better to complete things. There is inherent value in completing a project and seeing it to fruition. And look, I don't think there is a right or wrong. You just need to figure out what works for you. And I want to give you permission. It's okay to quit on something that isn't working for you, or something that isn't bringing you joy, or something that you no longer want to commit to. You have full permission to do what you actually want. You have full permission to stop doing something that does not work for you. And I might add, okay, because I feel like there's some negative stigma to starting something and not finishing. So maybe it would have been better to not have started it to begin with. But you're actually allowed to start something and then decide you don't want to keep doing it. In fact, most of the time, okay, how do you even know if you want to do it or not? It's by doing it and deciding once you're actually in the thick of it, right? And this kind of applies to anything in life. I was actually thinking earlier that I definitely want to record a podcast on how do you know what you want in life. And, you know, spoiler alert, I believe one key of how do we find out what we want in life is by doing things and then realizing it's not what we want. Okay. So I don't think there's anything inherently bad about that. So Did I want to help my kid paint his room? Yes, of course. Did I still want to help him to paint his room after devoting, 8 hours or I don't know how many hours on the first wall? No, I decided I was all set. So we stopped there. And actually, I will tell you, I'm really proud of this wall that we painted. It looks amazing. I don't think of the bigger project as being unfinished. We did one wall, we're great. And it's okay if we have spare materials, different paints and different colors. That will apply for some other project. In any case, I do believe that we have this moral judgment. We have, a lot of us do believe, excuse me, I apologize. A lot of us really have that thought of like, yeah, but we should be following through. We should be finishing projects. And truly, as dentists, as high achieving women, I feel like we really are taught that's what we should do. And look, by and large, we follow through with things. We are not a flaky bunch of people, right? Because if you go to the extremes, right, we're either following through 100% on everything we say we're going to do, or the opposite would be we're flaky. We start something and we never finish it, right? And I just want to point out, in general, we're really not a flaky bunch of people. People know that they can depend on us. You're showing up, you're taking care of your patients. I know you're showing up and you're taking care of your kids if you have them, right? Actually, let me give you this funny example. The other day, I was actually talking with my older kid. He's 11, and he told me how the Mona Lisa wasn't finished. Who knew? I did not know this. This is like the most famous painting in the world, right? And it's not finished. So who are we to say that maybe it would have been a better, whatever a better painting is, if it had been finished? Like, does it even matter that the Mona Lisa wasn't finished? Well, clearly it didn't prevent it from becoming such a famous painting, right? So, why am I telling you this? Because you might be thinking that you're flaky if you're jumping from project to project. You might be, thinking it may be better for you to follow through with certain things. Okay, fine. Listen to your gut on that. However, I know for a fact you most likely have responsibilities and you do follow through with them. When you say you're going to be somewhere, you're there. You show up for your patients, you show up for your family, you're doing things that actually matter to you, and you have the ability to prioritize things, which means you may say no to certain things, even things that you might want to do. Like, I love learning Italian or German. I love sitting down and doing that. How often do I do it? Pretty rarely, because other things are a priority. So I could beat myself up and think like, gee, I'm not making this a priority. Or I could cut myself slack, right? For lack of any fancier terms. You can let that go, right? Like, I used to beat myself up thinking, man, I can't finish any books, right? But I could just let that go. It's not a big deal. I'm going to do it when I want to do it. And that's okay. So what if instead you were to see these things as fun things that you get to do, fun things that you get to delve into and learn about. And also you get to decide if you don't want to do them. And that's okay too, right? Nothing that you get involved in needs to be like this massive, massive commitment. It's okay to decide certain things in your life are just going to be a low commitment thing. That's okay. You could take yourself off the hook, let yourself explore things just for the fun of it. And look, this might also apply to things in your own office, right? Like, I'm just thinking, let's say you want to dabble in new procedures and you might have the thought, okay, but I need to learn and I need to get CEs. And then there's, the overhead of buying the, if we do it, even when we don't feel like it, then actually it's more like a job. Now, you may or may not agree with this, but when I heard this, I actually found it to be super liberating. We don't need extra pressure on ourselves to do anything that we don't feel like doing. Now, of course, it comes up into my mind that I want my kids to play the piano. They may not always feel like playing the piano, and yet there's some life skills and life lessons to just actually sticking with it, right? So I trust that you understand what I'm saying here, right? Like, there is a time and a place to follow through, and then there's a time and a place to just say, yeah, this, actually doesn't fulfill a need for me right now. Even if this is an activity that I enjoy, I don't need to put pressure on myself to do it. So as I kind of summarize things, it's okay to quit things from time to time, you know, and think about what maybe responsibilities even you've taken on or said yes to that you don't want anymore. It's okay to say no to those things too. I'll tell you another story. Years ago, I had visions of being super involved in both of my kids' schools, showing up as a room parent and volunteering for all the field trips and coordinating things and going to parent meetings and the whole bit. And I actually grew up, both my parents started out as teachers. My dad ended up becoming a school administrator, and I'd see him go to board meetings and, you know, just running a school and all that. And I always imagined myself being a highly involved parent. And so, you know, what I decided to do was to get super involved. I did all the things for both my kids' classes, of course, in combination with other parents, right? But I got so involved. And you know what happened? I realized for myself that that was not going to work. Sure, I enjoyed some aspects of it, but in truth, I really wasn't enjoying the majority of it. I realized I was kind of getting grumpy about everything that it involved. And it took me a few months to come to the decision that I just needed to back out of some of the responsibilities, delegate, and then not recommit to it the following year. So I decided to stop being involved to the extent that I was. And I told them I wasn't available. I did feel a little bit of guilt. And then, you know what? I felt absolutely liberated, truly. So look, strategic quitting isn't, Strategic quitting is really all about giving yourself permission to say no to things and not just do them because everybody expects you to do them, okay? And of course, I'm not talking about abandoning patience or not picking up your kids from school, okay? You know what I'm talking about. You know the things in your life. I trust that you can figure this out. There are things that we commit to that maybe don't, aren't really the best involvements for us for a number of different reasons. Maybe we're spreading ourselves too thin, even if it is something that we enjoy, right? So I gave you the example with, you know, me volunteering at my kid's school. I was realizing I didn't enjoy all of it, but there are times where we're enjoying everything, we're spreading ourselves thin, and even then it might be helpful for us to quit and to not continue, okay? So whether or not you enjoy it or not, just look at, is this something that I really need to be doing? Should I be doing it? And it's okay to give yourself permission to quit. So what might you decide to quit? What could free you up if you said no to it? And what might be something that you've ordinarily thought of as, oh, gee, I didn't follow through with this. And how can you just take yourself off the hook and not beat yourself up about it, right? All right. That's what I have for you today. It is time for me to hop off and sign off. So I hope this podcast has been really helpful for you. If you've been listening along and you are enjoying these episodes, would you consider leaving a star rating in Apple Podcasts? I would greatly appreciate it. You can actually do it right now. As you're listening, you don't even have to type any words. Just a star rating would be super, super helpful. And also, if these episodes have been helpful for you, and you want a little bit more about what I have to offer, you could start by downloading the Busy Dentist's Guide to Self-Care. Because here's the thing, ultimately, you can be running around doing all the things, but if you're not enjoying yourself and if you're not finding time to take care of yourself, then really what's the point of all of this? So you can get that guide by going to drnatanya.com/self-care. I'll also link it in the show notes. Okay, my friends, I hope you have a fabulous day today, and I will look forward to talking to you all next week. Bye.